And he's about to drink the wine, and he feels himself so great because everybody's there. It's so beautiful, and everybody's singing songs to him and dancing for him and praising him and giving him all kinds of flattery. They say how wonderful he is, making him feel good. And all of a sudden, there's a little fly, a little tiny mosquito. Not only a big mosquito, you know, there's big mosquitoes also, but this was a teeny tiny, weeny, teeny little mosquito-y. And he sees the mosquito flying around. And all of a sudden, the mosquito flies into his nose, into one of his nostrils. And it goes up into his nose. And Titus looks at that and he says, "Oh, that little buggy flew into my nose, that little tiny little mosquito. Ew." And he tries to press his nose to try to get it. And he thought he got it. He thought he squished it. But then he felt it crawling around way up in his nose. "Hey, it's still there." And he starts to blow. "Maybe it'll fly out." And he still felt it up in his nose. "Ah, I'll forget about it. Let me just enjoy my party. After all, this is the best party of my whole life. Let me feel how wonderful it is to have this party." And he starts to drink his wine. All of a sudden, he feels that little mosquito go way up into his head. And it starts making little mosquito noise. You know how a mosquito noise is? Mosquito noise. But since it's in his head, it really bothers him. And it starts flapping around his mosquito wings. And it starts walking around with his little mosquito feet. And he feels this buzzing and he hears this noise inside of his head. Now, if he plugs his ears, doesn't do anything. He still hears it. He still feels it. And it's very loud in his head because inside of his head. And he feels that mosquito inside of his head. And then he starts getting a headache. Can you enjoy a party when you have a headache? Oh no, he didn't enjoy his party at all. In fact, he forgot about all of the wonderful things by his party. The musicians played the music. He couldn't even listen to it. The mosquito was bothering with his noise. They served him his royal delicious meal. He couldn't even eat it. He was too upset that the mosquito was inside of his head. He got a headache. All the dancers and all the different shows and clownies and entertainment that are trying to make the king happy, he didn't even smile. He didn't like anything. All he could think about was that mosquito inside of his head bothering him. And the king said, "Let me leave the party and go lie down. Maybe I'll feel better." And he goes into a quiet place away from the thousands of people. And he tries to lie down. He tries to rest. All he hears and all he feels is that mosquito inside of his head. And he can't sleep. And he gets very upset and very nervous and very depressed. And he goes around now tired and upset and nervous. And he gets a worse headache. And he doesn't know what to do about it. He's bothered. Of course, the party ended. And the king says, "I'll take a walk. Maybe I'll feel better if I take a walk." Now, this is already the next morning. He's walking through the marketplace. And he passes by a blacksmith. A blacksmith is where they are banging metal to make horseshoes. What kind of shoes does a horse wear? Reeboks? He wears sneakers? He wears Shabbos shoes? What kind of a shoe does a horse wear? What kind of shoes does a horse wear?
Metal.
Metal shoes. They bang this kind of a shoe out of metal, and they take nails and they bang it into the bottom of the horse, and he has horseshoes. Now, in order to make those shoes, you take a big hammer on a big piece of metal called an anvil, and you bang and you bang and you bang, and it's so loud. As Titus passed by this place where they're banging the metal, and most people will get a big headache even going near the place, all of a sudden the mosquito noise stopped. And all he heard was the banging of the metal, but at least he didn't hear the mosquito noise. And it actually made him feel better. Ah, Titus said, I have found a refuah. I have found a remedy. I forgot to tell you. Titus left the party to try to go lie down. He couldn't lie down. The mosquito bothered him. He called his doctors. He told them what happened. Before, he was very embarrassed. And the doctors start to make medicine, and they start to try to give different medicines and pills and shots and needles. Nothing was helping. He called the royal magicians. That magic, by magic, they should get rid of the mosquito. You think it helped anything or helped Gornisht? It helped Gornisht. He called the Getchke experts to dive into the right Getchkes. And did the Getchkes help his mosquito head? Of course not. Nothing was helping. Finally, he took a walk in the morning. Now, Titus discovered that this is the only thing that makes him feel better. So he decided that when he sits on his throne, he is going to have a person next to him banging horseshoes the whole day. Now, can you imagine that the king is sitting on his throne, and next to him, instead of, you know, royal officers and all these beautiful things, he's got a blacksmith who's standing there with a big hammer banging horseshoes just to make noise. And the whole palace is full of this terrible noise. Nobody can stand it, and the king feels better. Now, it says like this. If a goy was there to bang, he paid him 4 silver coins. If a Jew, sometimes he got a Jew to do it, he didn't pay him anything. He says, the goy is working, so he's going to pay him 4 coins. A Jew, he does it for free because he says, it's enough the Jew sees me suffer, because he knows I destroyed the Beis HaMikdash and now I'm suffering for it, so it's enough that he sees that instead of also getting paid. Let them that is his payment. In the end, Kinalach, after 30 days of banging metal and smashing noises, the mosquito started again his noise. And no matter how much they would bang the horseshoes and how much noise they would make, it still did not do anything to stop the mosquito from making his mosquito noise. And the king started getting very upset and nervous and upset and angry that the mosquito was again making noise. Finally, Kinalach, the king got more and more nervous and more sick, and he couldn't eat, and he couldn't sleep, and he couldn't enjoy anything, until finally King Titus died. He died from that little mosquito. The Romans decided that they're going to open up the king's head to find that little mosquito, because a lot of them didn't believe it. They didn't believe that this whole thing happened. Maybe the king made it up. Maybe he was imagining it. How could it be? And the Romans decided that they're going to cut open the king's head to look inside and find out what's in there. And some of the Chachamim of the Yidden were also allowed to come in to see what they would find. And the Gemara says they pulled out a thing as big as a bird, and its claws, its feet, and its beak, its mouth, were made out of metal. And this is what they found inside of Titus's head. Not a little mosquito. This thing must have grown and grown, bigger and bigger, until it was like as big as a bird, and its beak and its claws, its feet were made out of metal. Now I'm going to tell you the end of this story. It's very interesting. Right before Titus died, he got very afraid of Hashem, because he realized Hashem punished him for his gaiva and his schlechtkeit. And Hashem fulfilled his words that even the littlest, tiniest thing is greater than Titus. So Titus got afraid of Hashem, and he was afraid that if he dies, Hashem is going to punish him. So before he died, he called 7 officers. And he told the 7 officers, I have a plan that after I die, Hashem will never find me. And that way, he'll never punish me. He told the 7 officers, now each one was a captain of a ship. I should have said 7 captains. They were officers, but they were captains. He says, each one of you get a clay pot and bring it here. And also get your ships ready to sail to a different ocean. You know how many oceans there are in the world? 7 oceans. So he has 7 captains with 7 ships, bringing 7 clay pots and getting ready to sail in the 7 oceans. And the captains came back with the clay pots. And they said, the ships are ready to go. Of course, they didn't know what's going to happen yet. Okay, Titus says, when I die, I want you to take my body and burn it up into ashes. Then I want you to split up my ashes into 7 parts. Each part should be put into a different pot. Remember there's 7 pots? So, now his ashes would be in 7 different pots. Then the captains of the ships, each one will take his pot, his part of Titus's body that was all burned up, into his ship, and he's going to sail away into the 7 oceans. And Titus says, find the middle of the ocean, then take the pot, open it up, and start very slowly sprinkling my ashes over the ocean. And go very slowly and spread out my ashes that they're going to be all over the oceans, so that way my little tiny pieces, whatever's left of me, is going to be so spread out Hashem will never find me and he'll never be able to punish me. Of course, Titus was making a mistake, right? First of all, he's only looking at the body. Does a person only have a body, or he also has a life? Who's in charge of the person's life? Hashem. Can a person hide his life from Hashem?
No.
Okay. And not only that, but even the body, and even every little tiny piece, Titus does not understand that the Abishter knows where every little teeny tiny thing is in the whole world. And there's no hiding from Hashem, even with the smartest, trickiest plan. There's no way. And even little teeny tiny pieces, a person cannot hide from Hashem, because Hashem knows every little teeny tiny piece. The captains did what Titus asked. They spread the ashes all over the 7 oceans. And of course the officers thought, yes, Titus is very smart. He's hiding from Hashem by spreading himself all around. He probably outsmarted Hashem. Now, do you know what the Gemara says is Titus's punishment? Kinalach, after a person dies, they go to a judgment. Everyone knows about this. They go to Yom HaDin, a big judgment, and they judge the person according to what they did in the world. And hopefully, the person was good. They go to Gan Eden. If Chas Shalom, the person didn't do tshuva and they weren't good, they can also, Chas Shalom, get punished. hopefully everybody does tshuveh, and everybody learns Torah and does mitzvahs, and has Avos Yisrael, and everybody goes straight to Gan Eden, to Halichtika Gan Eden, and gets big rewards from Hashem and big brachas, and Mashiach comes, and Tchias HaMesim, and the third base of Mikdash, and everybody has all kinds of good. But there are certain people like Titus, who did not do tshuveh, even when he saw the little fly flying up, the little mosquito going in his brain. Do you think he was better to Yidden? You think he said, I'm sorry? You think he did tshuva? No. He was just as bad. He was so chutzpahdik, he wouldn't admit that Hashem was getting him for what he did, and he didn't do tshuva. Listen to what Titus' punishment is. Every morning, every day, Hashem sends malachim, and they go and gather up every little tiny piece of Titus all over the seven oceans. And they put them back together again. Hello, Titus. There he is. Agansa Titus right there. And then fire malachim come and they burn him up with fire. He gets burned up again. And he turns back into ashes. And then malachim come and they take the ashes and they spread them out all over the seven oceans again. That's one day. What happens the next day? Malachim come again. They gather up all the little tiny pieces of Titus. They put it all together. Hello, Titus. There he is again. Nachatayim, Titus. And fire malachim come and they burn him up again. And the malachim come and they spread out his ashes again. And they spread them up all over the seven oceans. And then the next day, again, they gather them up all together. They build them up again from every little tiny piece. Hey, Atitas again. A third time, Atitas. They burn them up again. Every single day this happens. This happens today. It happened yesterday. It'll happen tomorrow. Until Mashiach comes. And after Mashiach comes, we're going to see what happens to Titus. But that's his punishment every day. Can a person? Can anybody hide from Hashem?
No.
Can anybody get away with anything?
No.
And even the littlest, tiniest thing is bigger and more powerful than this Rasha Titus. And Kinalach, the big tzaddik Hillel, once told his wife. He asked his wife, please, today in the evening, around 6 o'clock, I would like to bring home a very important oirach, a very important guest for supper. He's visiting here. I know he would appreciate a place to eat. He's a big Talmud Chochem. I would love to bring him over to be able to speak Torah with him and have Achnasas Orachim and give kavod to a big tzaddik and a Talmud Chochem. So please, if you don't mind, I would appreciate if you would have a nice supper ready around 6 o'clock. And that way, he'll eat, and it'll be so wonderful to have him over. And Hillel's wife said, oh, of course, Be'ezus Hashem, that will be my greatest pleasure. And now, Kinalach, Hillel leaves, and he goes to the shul and the Beis Medrash, and he learns, and he teaches, and he does all the things that he does. And finally, around 6 o'clock, he brings home the oirach. And he comes into the house, and he smells a delicious smell. And of course, Hillel thinks to himself, oh, my good wife, my Eishes Chayil, she's made a wonderful supper. It smells so delicious. And I'm sure that my guest is hungry. He's been in yeshiva the whole day. He's been in shul the whole day. He says, my wife, hello, we're home. Hello, you're in the kitchen? Yes, I'm in the kitchen. I'll be ready as soon as I can. Okay, we'll be sitting outside here in the chairs. We'll be speaking Torah until supper is ready. It's already 6:30, and now it's 7 o'clock. How long has gone by since there... a whole hour. Oh. Philo is hungry. He knows his friend is hungry also. And they're talking and they're sitting. And now it's 8 o'clock. A whole hour went by. Another hour went by. And now it's 9 o'clock. 3 hours has gone by. And now it's 9:30. And now it's almost 10 o'clock. Kinloch, we know that a person can get very upset. And he could think, I told my wife that she should have a special supper ready for the special guest. And I told her what time. And she had the whole day to get it ready. And now we're sitting here for almost 4 hours and it's not ready. And a person can get very upset and start thinking not nice things about his wife. That could happen. Now, of course, we're talking here about Hillel, a big tzaddik who always had a good eye, and a good way of looking at people, and Am Yisrael. And Kinloch, look what happened. Finally, Kinloch, Hillel's wife came out with a beautiful supper, delicious freshly baked bread, and everything so nice, and she served the supper, and they washed and they ate. And later on, Hillel asked his wife, listen, don't think, Chas v'Shalom, that I'm upset at you. But I'm wondering, if I asked you at 6 o'clock, I asked you please to be ready, and I asked you that in the morning, I asked you in the morning before I left the shul, that please, at 6 o'clock in the evening, hours later, please, you should be ready with the supper. And we came in around that time, and we had to wait 4 hours. I'm just wondering what happened. Now, Kinloch, listen to this. Hillel's wife said like this, the whole day I was busy baking and cooking and making everything fresh and nice. And I had everything ready on the stove. And about 20 minutes before you came home, this is around, 5:30-ish, all of a sudden I had a knock on the door. Oh, I said, it must be my husband and the guest. They came a little early. Well, everything is ready. I'm so happy they're here. And she opened the door. All of a sudden, she saw a poor man standing by the door. And the poor man, Kinloch, was dressed up in a suit, but it was a very poor man's suit. Like, he tried to look nice, but you could see that it was very old clothes. And she said, yes, can I help you? He said, I'm very embarrassed to ask you this, but today is supposed to be my chasana. That's why I'm dressed up in such a nice clothes, such a nice suit, the best that I could have, but I'm a very poor man. Today is supposed to be my chasana, but the problem is that I didn't get money together, and I'm very poor, and my kala is also very poor, and we don't have any food for the chasana. People are going to come to our chuppah, and they're going to be expecting to have a meal, and we didn't get money enough to be able to buy food. I don't know what to do. I don't know how we can have a chasana without any food at all. And I know this is the home of the great tzaddik Hillel, so I came for help. I don't know what to do. Kinloch, do you know what she did? Do you know what Hillel's wife did? She right away packed up all the food and she put it in the box with all the bread that she baked and all the delicious things. And she said, here, let's take it for your chasana. Take everything. I have food for your chasana. And she gave him all of the things that she made. And then when he left and took all that food, she started over again. It was almost 6 o'clock, and now she starts over again from the beginning to get the food ready for her husband and the guests. She started baking again. They just didn't have a bakery you can go and buy bread. She started taking the flour and started making the bread and kneading the dough. And she starts taking the raw meat and making things out of that and making food. And so it took hours to make a delicious meal again. And Kinloch, Hillel saw the reason now that his wife was so late. Was it chas v'shalom a not good reason that you should be upset about it? Or his wife was really doing something l'shem shemayim for Hashem? Was she just, chas v'shalom, forgetting about what she had to do and wasting time? Or she was doing a big mitzvah? She was doing a big mitzvah. So Reb Hillel said, I'm so happy that you did such a big mitzvah, and that's why we had to wait. Now, Kinalach, also a very important thing in this story is that not only when Hillel found out what was the whole ma'aseh, then he thought good thoughts, but even the whole time that he was sitting out there by the chairs with his friend, and he didn't know the reason. And he could have thought, what was my wife doing the whole day that she doesn't have the food ready on time? Did he think these kind of thoughts? Or he was only thinking good thoughts that she must have had a good reason why she's late. Okay, now that's l'chav schus. You see a person, you think, who knows what they're doing? It could be not a good thing. He could have thought not good thoughts about his wife, but he didn't know for sure. So you judge a person l'chav schus, you think good thoughts. Probably the reason they're doing this is for a good reason. One day, at Tzaddik, he came to shul in the morning before davening time. And this Tzaddik wants to teach a lesson to a certain boy, and this boy was standing by the door. And instead of just telling him the lesson, the Tzaddik did it in a very interesting, smart way. Of course, this is the way of Tzaddikim, to do things in not just a regular way, but a special way. And the boy is standing by the door, and the Tzaddik asked the boy, excuse me, what time is Shacharis? What time is the davening? And the boy says, well, around 9:30. And the Tzaddik says, what do you mean around 9:30? Is it 9:30 or around 9:30? What do you mean around 9:30? And the boy says, yeah, 9:30, 9:35. The Tzaddik asked the boy, well, when is it? Is it 9:30 or 9:35? And the boy says, wait a minute. What's the big deal, 9:30 and 9:35? It's just 5 minutes. And what's the big deal? 5 minutes. 5 minutes a little early, a little later. 5 minutes. And the Tzaddik looks at the boy and says, wait a minute. You mean by you, 5 minutes is not a big deal? And the boy says, yeah, I mean, what's the big deal? 5 minutes. And the Tzaddik says, do you know what you can do in 5 minutes? Do you know how long is 5 minutes? You could say some Tehillim. You could call up somebody and see how they are. Do the mitzvah of Avos Yisrael. You could learn a part of a Sefer. You could help somebody carry something for a whole block or a few blocks. You could run out and buy something for your mommy or tati that they need. You can do a lot of mitzvahs in 5 minutes. There are a lot of things you can do in 5 minutes. And the Tzaddik says, you know, if by you 5 minutes is no big deal, then chas v'shalom you could waste 5 minutes too. And the Tzaddik says, if chas v'shalom you could waste 5 minutes, then you could also waste a half an hour. You know how much is a half an hour?
Yes.
30 minutes. You know how many times 5 minutes is 30 minutes? 6 times 5 minutes. If you can waste 1 5 minute, you can waste 6 5 minutes. And if you can waste a half an hour, you could also waste an hour. And if you can waste an hour, you can waste a whole day also. Now, Kinalach, what is the Tzaddik teaching this boy? That every minute, every 5 minutes and every minute, every bit of time is important. You shouldn't waste it. You should use it out for Torah mitzvahs. Now remember one thing, this is very important. If I, chas v'shalom, lose my watch, I lost it. I'm looking all over for it. Could I find it?
Yes.
Could I get it back?
Yes,
I could get it back. Let's say I lost a shoe. Oh, where's my shoe? I can't find a shoe. I got one shoe, but I lost my other shoe. I'm looking under the bed. I'm looking under the couch. Now, if I spend some time, could I find my shoe and get it back?
Yes.
Yes, I could. What if I lost money? Could you get back the money?
Yes.
You could get it back. But there's one thing. One thing in the world that if you lose it, you'll never get it back. There's no way to ever get it back. Who could figure out what that is? What is the thing that if I lose it, there's no way ever to get it back?
Time.
Time. If you lose time, if you waste time, there's no way to ever get it back. So this story teaches us, use out every minute, use out every 5 minutes, use out every second, fill up your time and use it out. Hashem gives you time, Hashem gives you koiches, Hashem gives you chances to do good things, use it out.